الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، so إن شاء الله تعالى over the next few weeks بإذن الله we will be reading إن شاء الله explanations as it regards to the aqidah of the two imams Abu Hatim al-Razi and Abu Zura al-Razi رحمهم الله. The book is called Aqidatu al-Raziyin, the Aqidah of the two Imams from Ar-Ray, a place called Ar-Ray, and then they increased it with a Zayt to make it Ar-Razi. But before we go into that, we have to explain Aqidah. What is Aqidah? Point number one. Aqidah logatan, Aqidah linguistically, comes from the word Aqd. Aqidah, logatan, linguistically, comes from the word aqd, which is to tie something, to tighten something, a rabt. And that's the meaning of aqidah linguistically, from the word aqd. So for example, we have aqdul nikah, and we have aqdul bay. Aqdul nikah, with regards to marriage, is, like they say, tying the knot. So you're sealing the marriage. So that's why it's called aqd nikah, i.e. the marriage has been confirmed, assured. And also for bay, as it relates to business transaction, it's called aqd bay, which is like the contract. Again, it's been affirmed, assured. So this is the linguistic meaning of aqidah, coming from the word aqd, which is from the meaning rabt, which is to what, ikhwan? Tie something and keep it tight. As for istilahan, the definition, as relates to the deen of al-Islam, the definition of aqidah, as Shaykh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala defined, is حكم الذهن الجازم فإن طابق الواقع فصحيح فإن خالف الواقع فالباطل. Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, aqidah, as it relates to the shara, is a judgment that one takes mentally and is assured with it. A judgment that one takes mentally and is assured and is certain about it. Now, if this thing that individual has taken is in accordance to the reality of things, then it's the correct aqidah. But if that thing that individual has taken and assured is in difference with reality, then it's false. It's batil. So for example, we, i'tiqaduna, our aqidah, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wahid. That Allah is what? One. This is an aqidah that is sahih, because it's in accordance with reality, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and the only one who deserves to be worshipped, subhanahu. But as for the Christians, for example, the Catholics more specifically, they say that what? Allah is what? Is a third of a trinity. They say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a third of a trinity. So this aqidah is in difference with the reality. So therefore it's what? False. It's batil. So it's a hukm jazm, hukm dhihni jazm. That judgment that an individual takes mentally and is assured of it. If it's in agreement with reality, then it's a correct aqidah. And if it's indifference or differs with reality, then it is a false aqidah. Now, when the ulama, like we've explained before, define something linguistically, and they define it also according to the shara, they try and link the two. So as for aqidah linguistically, we said is what, akhwan? Arabt, like Arabt. And the origin of this comes from the word aqt is usually used in relation to a rope. It's usually used in relation to a rope. So that's the linguistic. And for the definition according to the shar, we said is what? A judgment that one makes and is what? Assured. If it's in accordance to reality, it's correct. And if not, it is batil. Shaykh Muthaymin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he explains, he said the link between this is that an individual, when he believes something and it enters his heart, it's connected to him. It's tight. He keeps it tight and he won't move away from it. This is the link between the linguistic meaning and the meaning according to the shar. So the individual, he believes something in his heart. He has this aqidah. He doesn't go left. He doesn't budge. He keeps it tight. So therefore, the people of the sunnah who have aqidah, us, the people of the sunnah, aqidah is salima. We have the correct aqidah. We don't budge for anybody. We stay on this. Firm. And that is the correlation between the linguistic meaning of aqidah and the meaning according to the shara. Again, before we embark upon this book, we won't touch this book today, inshallah. On Wednesday we start. But these introductions are very important. The second thing we're going to talk about is the importance of aqidah. The importance of aqidah. Because we find today, a lot of people say, oh, why are they talking about aqidah? Always talking about aqidah. Aqidah differs, splits the ummah. Aqidah hardens the heart. Why are we talking about aqidah? Why can't we talk about something else? So what we're going to do is talk about the importance of aqidah and how comprehensive aqidah is. The first indication to show the importance of aqidah is that without correct aqidah, your actions will not be accepted. Without the correct aqidah, your actions will not be accepted. And that's taken from the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. We've taken that which they've done from deeds, and we've made it like scattered dust, or like a haze. You see when it's sunny, and you see those particles? That is what Allah does to the deeds of those people. And this was revealed for the mushrikeen. Those people who went in a position to Tawheed. And Tawheed is part of Aqeedah. And Tawheed is part of what, Ikhwan? Aqeedah. Another statement is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ بَلِ اللَّهَ فَعْبُدْ وَكُنْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have revealed to you, O Muhammad, and revealed to those before you, that if you commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your actions will be null and void, and you'll be from the losers. But rather, worship Allah, worship Allah upon Tawheed. Worship Allah, and be from those who are grateful. Not from those who disbelieve. So it shows here in the ayah that the one who does not worship Allah upon Tawheed, upon the correct aqidah, He's acting with null and void. And this was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, talking to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what about other than the Anbiya? What about other than the chosen ones? وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. We've revealed to you and those before you. Even your brothers, the Anbiya, the Rusul. So if this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying and warning His messengers, His beloved messengers, so what about other than them, from the likes of ourselves? And we hear people saying Aqeedah is not important. Also, we have a hadith from Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, where he mentioned in the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, Inna fil jasadi mudgha, إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ جَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ جَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ. And this is in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that very, verily, there is a flesh in the body. There is a flesh. And if this flesh is upright, if it's correct, then the rest of the body is correct. And if this flesh is corrupted, then the rest of the body is corrupted. And it is the heart. And that's where the Aqeedah begins, Ya Ikhwan. That is where the Aqeedah, what Ikhwan? Begins. Which is why Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, فَمَعْرِفَةُ أَحْكَامِ الْقُلُوبِ أَهَمِّ مَعْرِفَةِ الْأَحْكَامِ الْجَوَارِحِ. He said, so, having knowledge of the rulings of the heart, having knowledge of the rulings of the heart, is more important than having knowledge of the rulings of the limbs. فَإِذَا هِيَ أَصْلُهَا. Because the knowledge of the heart is the foundation of your body, is the asl. And the action stem from that. And the proof is from that hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir. So how can one have a salim heart? How can one have a pure heart? Except by having correct aqidah. And how can anyone's action be correct if the aqidah is corrupted? Because their heart is then corrupted. So this shows the importance of studying aqidah. This shows the importance of paying attention to aqidah. Which is why the Salaf, they wrote thousands of books as it relates to aqidah. Another indication showing the importance of aqidah is by having the correct aqidah, one enters paradise. By having the correct aqidah, one enters paradise. In the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قال أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله لا شريك له وأن محمد عبده ورسوله وأن عيسى عبده وابن أمته وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه وأن جنة الحق وأن النار حق أدخله الله الجنة من أدخله الله من أي أبواب الجنة ثمانية. And that's in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ is said in the hadith that whoever testifies that there's none that deserves to be worshipped in reality except Allah with no partners, and whoever testifies that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Allah's slave and His messenger, and that Isa alayhi salam is Allah's slave and His messenger and the son of His mother, and also the word put, he became by the word put that was directed to Maryam, His mother. The Prophet Sallallahu said, and the one who testifies that Jannah is the heart, that paradise is true, and the one who testifies that the hellfire is true, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter him in any of the eight gates of paradise he wishes. In any of the eight gates of paradise he wishes. First of all, the testification of the Shahada. Is this not Aqidah, Ikhwan? To have to testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's slave and his messenger. Is this not Aqidah in the belief of the messengers? To testify that Isa is Allah's slave and his messenger. Is this not Aqidah? To believe that Jannah is the truth. And it's mawjood al-an, mawjood al-an. Is this not from Aqidah, Ikhwan? And the one who believes in all of this, the one who testifies in all of this, can he testify without knowledge? Knowledge before speech and action. Can he testify without the knowledge of these issues of Aqidah? And Allah has promised him what, Ikhwan? That he can go into any of the eight gates of Jannah he wishes. If this is not enough for us to race to study Aqidah, if this is not enough for us to fear having the correct Aqidah and making sure we have the correct Aqidah, then what will? And in another narration from this hadith, the same hadith but in another chain, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who believes and has aqeedah in all of these things and testifies all of these things, Allah will enter him into Jannah whatever actions he has done from his sins. This is the power of aqeedah, akhi. Kullu bani Adam khata'un wa khayru khata'in tawwabun. We all make mistakes, we all sin. But those who are the best of those are the ones who repent. So how do we repent with incorrect aqidah? How will our sins be forgiven with incorrect aqidah? This shows the importance of tawheed. This shows the importance of aqidah, which is why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that this hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit, this hadith is ajma' or min ajma' hadith al-mushtamila ala aqa'id. Which is why Imam Nawawi he said that this hadith is from the most comprehensive, if not the most comprehensive hadith narration as it relates to the encompassing of aqa'id. It's comprehensive as it relates to aqidah. And Allah has promised what, Ikhwan? Huh? Jannah. Does this not show the importance of studying aqidah? And in this narration is a refutation against the, in this hadith, as a side note, is a refutation against the Jahmiyyah. As Imam Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in his Radd ala Jahmiyyah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in this, when the Prophet says in this hadith, wa kalimatuhu wa kalimatuhu, and Allah's word, ay kun. So therefore Isa alayhi salatu wasalam became by Allah's word kun. Where the Jahmiyyah tried to say that Isa is kun, yani be, that he is that word, in order for them to say that Allah's Quran is what? Created. So all of this is aqidah, akhi. And it's a refutation against the false aqidah of the Nasara. It's a refutation against the false belief of the Nasara that is not in accordance to what? Reality. When they say that Isa is Allah, what did the Prophet say in this hadith? You testify that what? Isa is Allah's slave and his messenger. Is this not aqidah? And also it's a refutation against the Sufis. and those who worship the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in this hadith alayhi salatu wasalam, and they testified that Muhammad is who? His slave and his messenger. A, not to be worshipped. This is Aqidah, ikhwan, and this shows the importance of Aqidah. Another benefit or indication that shows the importance of Aqidah is, or the importance of having correct Aqidah and the importance of studying Aqidah and having the correct manhaj methodology, is that it's one of the ways that saves an individual from hellfire and from the threat of those who have opposed the Aqidah. There has been hellfire. From the hadith which is mashhur, which is known, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is mutawatir, which is a narration which has many chains, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Iftaraqat al-yahud ila 71 firqa wa ikhtalaf wa iftaraqat al-nasara ila 72 firqa wa sataftariq hadhihi al-umma ila 73 firqa kullaha fi an-nari illa wahida." Where the Prophet ﷺ said that the Jews split into 71 sects. The Christians split into 72 sects. This Ummah will split into 73 sects. All of them in the hellfire, except for one. And the companions asked the Prophet ﷺ, "Man hum ya Rasulullah? Who are they? A, those that are saved from the hellfire." And the Prophet ﷺ, he replied, he says, "Man kana ala ma ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashabi." Those who are upon what my companions are upon today. He's upon today and his companions. What he ﷺ is upon today and his companions. So these 72 sects, they are not from the safe sect. So we have the Murji'a. The Murji'a, a deviant group. They deviated in the Aqidah. They deviated in Aqidah in one issue. And that was an issue of what? Iman. They were from the deviant sects. The Qadariya. They deviated in what, ikhwan? In the issue of decree. They opposed the Aqidah of the Salaf. They opposed the Aqidah of the companions of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam as it relates to decree. The Khawarij, again from the deviant sects mentioned in this hadith, they deviated with regards to the rulers. They deviated with regards to Iman. They deviated with regard to the believer who makes a sin. They went away and deviated from the Aqidah of the Salaf. And they have received the threat of what, one? Hellfire. Does this not indicate the importance of studying Aqidah? Of being patient when studying Aqidah? As Muhammad Aman Jami, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was in his deathbed, the last words were Aqidah, Aqidah, Aqidah. Aqidah, ikhwan. And this is why we're here, all of us, myself and you, in order to make sure and to revise and to make certain our Aqidah. Like what, ikhwan? Make it what? Tight. Make it tight. From the benefits, ikhwan, of studying Aqidah is that it softens the heart. Aqidah softens the what, ikhwan? It softens the heart. Today we have people who say, let's talk about this, talk about good character, let's talk about salah, let's talk about hajj, let's talk about ahkam, rulings, let's talk about muamalat, let's talk about marriage, let's talk about bay. Yes. But without Aqidah, all of this is what? A waste of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with regards to al-birr, righteousness, لَيْسَ الْبِرْ أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that piety, Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, that piety is not that you turn your face to the east or to the west, but rather piety is what? To believe in who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the end of the verse. And when piety is mentioned on its own, as the ulama have mentioned, it incorporates taqwa. It incorporates what? Taqwa. So this verse, as Ibn Kathir shows and says, that it comprises the principles of Aqidah, the Iman al-Sitta. So this shows the importance of Aqidah, akhi. Because the one who has correct Aqidah, inshallah, is from the Muttaqeen. He's from the pious ones. He's from the ones who have the clear heart. He's from the righteous. And we find also that in the Abwab of Aqidah, there's many things that are studied. In the Iman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we study his names and his attributes, Asma wa Sifat. Is it not, Ikhwan, softening of the heart to reflect in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it not softening of the heart that when you hear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a Sami', when you hear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing, you take heed in what you say? Is it not softening of the heart when you hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Basir, the all-seeing, that you take heed in what you do in order not to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it not from softening of the heart when you hear that is a Ghafoor, that is the oft forgiving, that you seek and you run for the forgiveness of Ar-Rahman? Is it not from the softening of the heart, ya ikhwan, that when you hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, Al-Haq, the truth, that you believe that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the truth, then everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed is the truth. The Quran is the truth. The messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent is what? The truth. The descriptions of the hereafter that is in the Quran and the Sunnah is what? The truth. Jannah is truth. And Nar is the truth. So when one studies these issues, does it not soften your heart? When you study the umur of the hereafter, which is also mentioned in this book, when you study the affairs regards to the hereafter, Jannah, does it not make you ready to do good deeds? وَأُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةِ الْمُتَّقِينَ غَيْرِ بَعِيدِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Jannah will be brought forth to the Muttaqeen. لَيْسَ الْبِرْ. To the Muttaqeen, that Jannah will be brought close to the pious ones. Does this not soften your heart, ya akhwan? أُدْخُلُوهَا بِالسَّلَامِ. Enter it with ease. This is the shows the importance of studying Aqidah, akhi. It softens the heart. The punishment of the grave, the fitna, the trial of the grave. When the individual is asked, Man Rabbuk, Man Nabiyuk, Wa Man Deenuk. When the individual is asked, who's your Lord? And he has studied Aqidah. When the individual is asked, who's your Lord? And when we mention Ar-Rab, when the Prophet ﷺ mentions Ar-Rab, it incorporates Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. And also Tawheed Asma wa Sifat. So the one who has studied these three things, these categories, which are part of Aqidah, how will they answer? Man Nabiyuk, who is your prophet? If if you have not studied the Aqeed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah as it relates to Iman in the messengership of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how will you answer? And the Deen, how will you answer without studying your Aqeedah? Without studying the Aqeedah of the Salaf? فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. If they believe like you believed, the companion, then they will be guided. So if you don't believe, study the Iman, the Aqeedah that the Iman of the Sahaba had, the Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Iman in His messengers, the correct creed, how would you be guided? How would you be guided in this dunya? How would you be guided in Barzakh? And how would you be guided to paradise when you don't have correct Aqeedah? So no, Aqeedah does not harden the heart. It softens the heart. It softens the heart and increases the individual who strives to correct his Aqeedah in the love of Ar-Rahman. He increases in the love of Allah. He seeks the Jannah that Allah prepared. وَلَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. And after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and for them is whatever they wish, whatever they like. And with us is al-mazid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with him is an increase, ziyada, extra. And as is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that mazid here is seeing ar-Rahman. And in the books of Aqeedah, the ulama have clarified the correct Aqeedah as it relates to the ru'ya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deviance from other sects with regards to seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So does this not soften one's heart, ya akhi? So the one that says that studying Aqeedah, studying Al-Tawheed, we repeat it too much. So the one that says that studying Aqeedah hardens the heart, it is an injustice and deviance to say such things. So much so the ulama have bent backwards in their efforts to clarify this Aqeedah. By clarifying and showing the correct Aqeedah, and by refuting the false Aqeedah, and warning against those people that oppose the Aqeedah of the Salaf. So for example, we have a narration in the Khatib al-Baghdad, from Khatib al-Baghdadi in Tariq al-Dimishq, where he said, or in his isnad, I should say, to Uqba ibn Alqama, that he said, "Kuntu ma Arta." I was with Arta, one of the ulama of the Salaf, and some of the people, ba'd ahl al-majlis, some of the people that were sitting in their gathering, said, "Let's stop talking about those people, the people of bid'ah. Let's just talk about something else." And then Arta, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, "This individual that says this, who are minhum, he's from them. This individual that is telling you to stop talking about the people of innovation, he is from them. La yulabbis alaykum. Don't let him deceive you." And then, Awza'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the students that were there at that time when Arta said that, he went to Awza'i. And he showed him and told him the story. And Awza'i said, "Haqqu ma qala Arta," that the truth is what Arta said. If we don't refute them, who will? he said, rahimahullah ta'ala. So the ulama, Ikhwan, are refuting the people of innovation because of their deviance in manhaj and their deviance in aqidah, because it's a hard, it's an obstacle in loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an obstacle in softening your hearts. It's an obstacle in following the proper deen, al-Islam. This is why the ulama are refuting the people of innovation. So no, it does not harden the heart to refute the people of innovation. Because without aqidah, without the correct aqidah, your heart becomes hard. And as Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, he said that the heart is the king, is the malik al-jawarih. That the heart is the king of the limbs. Wa sultanahu. That the heart is the king of the limbs and its ruler. If it's correct, its army's correct. So we have to concentrate in aqidah, ikhwan, and ignore those people who try and create obstacle in the path of seeking the correct knowledge, to seek the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the ulama, they clarify and they continue to clarify. As the Prophet said, from the shu'ab, from the branches of iman, the Prophet said, imatatul adha an at-tariq. And the Prophet mentioned in a hadith that from iman is clearing the obstacles in the path. And when the ulama refute the people of innovation, and the aqidah is clearing the path of the believers to have good aqidah. So don't underestimate, don't undermine, don't disparage, don't think negatively about the defense that the ulama have made with regards to preserving this aqidah. And this is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah ta'ala, we will inshallah read and go through the points of aqidah which is mentioned in this exemplary collection. But before we do that, we'll go to the tarjuma and the biography of Abu Hatim rahimahullah ta'ala, Abu Zur'ah rahimahullah ta'ala. Abu Hatim, who is one of the Raziyain, one of the two Razis, if it's correct to say, his name is known as Abu Hatim. That's his kunya. But his name is Muhammad ibn Idris. His name is Muhammad ibn Idris ibn Munzir. He's known by his kunya, which is Abu Hatim. But his name is Muhammad ibn Idris ibn Munzir. He was born in 195, the year 195 Hijri. He was born, rahimahullah ta'ala, in the year 195 Hijri. He was born in Ray. And he's called, his laqab or his lineage goes, is connected to Ar-Razi, which comes from Ar-Ray. And in the logo of the Arabs, sometimes they add a letter, and this letter that was added here was a Zay, so it made it Ar-Razi. But he's from Ar-Ray. Rahimahullah ta'ala was from an area called Ar-Ray. As for this alim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he made and exhorted a lot of effort in seeking ilm. He started seeking knowledge in the year 209. He started seeking knowledge, that's absolutely incorrect, Taban. He started seeking knowledge in the year 209. So how old was he when he began? Shabab. He was 14. When he started writing hadith, when Abu Hatim rahimahullah ta'ala started writing hadith, he was 14 years of age. And he traveled to Kufa, Baghdad, and Basra in Iraq. He also traveled seeking knowledge in Dimashq. And he also traveled to Misr, Egypt, and also to Bahrain.
So he exhorted effort in seeking knowledge from the ulama of these places. From his scholars in his travels are Uthman ibn Haytham. Uthman ibn Haytham rahimahullah ta'ala and Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. And also from his shuyukh and his teachers was Adam ibn Iyas. All of them well-known ulama. Abu Hatim rahimahullah ta'ala also had students. Had a lot of students. And from those, the well-known students that he had was Abu Dawood. We all know Abu Dawood, Sahib al-Sunan. The Sunan Abu Dawood from the Kutub al-Sitta. Abu Dawood and Nasai and Ibn Majah. So from his students was Abu Dawood and Nasai and Ibn Majah. And also Ibn Abi Dunya. From his students were Ibn Abi Dunya. As for the praise that has been given to Abu Hatim rahimahullah ta'ala, there are plenty. From them is a statement of Abu Bakr al-Khilal, who is the one who collected the book of Sunnah, As-Sunnah lil-Khilal. He said rahimahullah ta'ala, Abu Hatim imamun fil hadith. He said that Abu Hatim was an imam fil hadith. And Uthman al-Khazra, he said, Ahfaz ma ra'aytu arba. He said, Ahfaz ma ra'aytu arba. The most I have known for memorization of hadith and the sunnah are four. The first is Ibrahim ibn Ar'ara. Ibrahim ibn Ar'ara. And the second is Muhammad ibn Minhal al-Darir. Muhammad ibn Minhal al-Darir. And the third, he said, from the most of those who he knows that memorize and preserve the sunnah in memorization is Abu Zura. Is who? Abu Zura. And the fourth is, of course, Abu Hatim. And the fourth, of course, is Abu Hatim. Abu Zura rahimahullah ta'ala, Abu Hatim rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 279. So he died at the age of 82. So he died, rahimahullah ta'ala, at the age of 82. As for the other Razi from the ulama that's mentioned, that is from this Aqidah, rahimahullah ta'ala, is Abu Zura. Again, Abu Zura is known by his kunya. His kunya is Abu Zura. He's known, washtuhira bikunyatihi. He's known by his kunya. But his name is Ubaidullah ibn Abd Karim ibn Yazid. His name is Ubaidullah ibn Abd Karim ibn Yazid. And he again is from where, Akhwan? Ray. He's from Ray. And from his scholars and the teachers that he studied under were scholars like Abi Asim, Abu Nu'aym, and Abi Al-Walid Al-Tayalasi. That's Abu Nu'aym and Abu Al-Walid Al-Tayalasi. These are from his scholars and teachers that he taught that taught him. He again was well known for his memorization and his rihla and his traveling and seeking of knowledge. He sought knowledge in the Haramain. He sought knowledge in Mecca. He traveled to Mecca, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he also traveled to Medina. He traveled also to Iraq and the whole of Sham and Khorasan. And also he traveled to Egypt. From his well-known students, from the students of Abu Zura, rahimahullah ta'ala, again are from the ulama and the aimmatul kutub al-sitta, are from the scholars of the Kutub al-Sitta. From them is Imam Muslim. From his students are Imam Muslim, who is well known, who's the Sahib al-Sahih, rahimahullah ta'ala. And also Tirmidhi, again, who has his Jami', the Sunan, at-Tirmidhi. And also from his students is Imam al-Nasai and Ibn Majah. Abu Zura, rahimahullah ta'ala, his nephew Ibn Abi Hatim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that Abu Zura told him that he had memorized 700,000 hadith. That he had memorized 700,000 hadith, and he memorized these hadith like you memorize Qulullah Ahad. He said that Abu Zura said that he memorized 700,000 hadith. And he memorized these hadith like you would memorize Qul Hu Law Ahad. He was an imam fil hifz. Which is why the ulama, and from them, Abu Hatim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that Abu Zur'ah was an imam. He says he was an imam. And also Ibn Hibban, who is the author of the Thiqat and the Du'afar Majruheen, from the ulama of hadith, Ibn Hibban, he said that Abu Zur'ah kana min ahad a'immat ad-dunya fi al-hadith. He said that Abu Zur'ah was from the imams of hadith in this dunya. He's from the imams of the hadith in this dunya. Abu Zur'ah rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 264. Abu Zur'ah died in the year 264. And in his deathbed, rahimahullah ta'ala, the ulama of Rayt, they gathered next to him in his deathbed. And they wanted to do talqeen. Yani they wanted to tell him to say the shahada, talqeen. They wanted to tell him to say what? The shahada, talqeen. But they were shy to do so. They were shy to do so. So what they decided to do was to start revising a hadith. And to make the hadith that they revise be the hadith of talqeen. The hadith of making the individual who's in his deathbed to pronounce the shahada. So one of them began saying hadathana, hadathana, hadathana. And then Abu Zur'ah stopped. And then he continued the isnad. And then he said in the hadith, hadathana, hadathana to the isnad. And he said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man kana akhir kalamihi min ad-dunya la ilaha illallah. And then he died. Man kana akhir kalamihi min ad-dunya la ilaha illallah. And then he died. Said the one whose last words in this dunya is La ilaha illallah, and then he died. Rahimahullah ta'ala. Yani, the one whose last, the full hadith is, the one whose last statement is La ilaha illallah enters paradise. But he died. So he died upon the what? The La ilaha illallah from the talqeen. May Allah make us be those who have our deaths according to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us upon the Tawheed and correct Aqeedah. This is the seerah of the two Imams. And they, Abu Zur'ah and Abu Hatim, rahimahullah ta'ala, their son and their nephew, Ibn Abi Hatim, is the one who asked them a question regards to Aqeedah. And in this compilation, Imam Al-Alaka'i and also Imam Al-Alaka'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he has incorporated the whole of this narration and this Aqeedah in his Usul Al-Itiqad, in his book Usul Al-Itiqad, because of how comprehensive it is. Like he also did for the Usul Al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmed. So inshallah ta'ala, on Wednesday inshallah, we'll start the book straight away bi'idhnillah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a tawfiq wa sadad. Huh? Oh, tomorrow inshallah we'll start Kitab al-Siyam, the book of fasting from Umar al-Tahkam inshallah. Just small benefits here and there relating to these ahadith that's dealing with fasting and Ramadan. As we know, fasting is a couple of weeks away, Ramadan. So we ask Allah Ta'ala again for tawfiq.
and sadad and ikhlas and thabat. La, Monday and Wednesday Aqidat Raziyain, and on Tuesdays Kitab al-Siyam, inshallah. Sorry? Inshallah. Ibn Amati, no. Ibn Amati. Have a few riwayah. There's a narration where he doesn't mention it, and there's another narration where he mentions it. But the whole compilation makes, yani one hadith explains the other. Fikum barakallah. Subhanakallah, alhamdulillah.